be the third time I've attempted to give you this sermon, and I think God had different timing. Perhaps it would be for someone in particular who wouldn't have been here at those times, or maybe it was just, that's how it worked out anyway. But the seeds of this sermon were sort of planted around the holidays, because, you know, around the holidays a lot of people get depressed. They look back at things, and, you know, it's a tough time. And I'm going to be honest with you, as time passed between the holidays and now, you know, I was questioning whether the sermon was still the right one at the right time. But as I began to write a new one, he clearly said to me, "What are you doing? You know what you're supposed to do," and I'm back to it. So hopefully I can get through this, and I haven't changed it too much from its original version. So, well, that didn't look very good. Oh, well. It was started off with the title of the House of Mirrors. And it's about basically the way we look at ourselves and our past, our future, and where we should be now. So, when you look at the Bible, God teaches us a lot of lessons. And what I've learned is the lessons that are the most important, He tells us over and over and over again, all throughout His Word, just in case we missed it the first time, or 12. So, I mean, this is not a particular passage that I'm preaching on, but a global thought, a process through the Bible where God encourages us over and over again to do something. He gives us specific instructions not to do it, not to do this, not to do that. And He starts with the past. I don't know how many times, I didn't add them up, He mentions that the past is gone. And that's for a very good reason, because we were born into sin, and everything we've done up to the point of our salvation is garnered and affected by that nature. So, what we see in our past is a distorted view of what happened and who we are and who we were, and it affects how we are right now. That distorted view could be over a pile of bad decisions. I like this image because when you just look at the pile of junk on the floor, it looks like trash. But when you shine a light on it, the shadows in the back look like who we are, like who we were more. So we look at that and we go, "Why, God? Why is it you can accept me after I've crawled out of this muddy pit that I was in for so long? You know, after all the things I've done, how could you possibly see any worth and value in me?" And it holds us back. And in His Word, He tells us over and over again, it's forgotten. When you've come to me, as far as is the east from the west, Isaiah 43:25 tells us, "I, even I, am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, not for mine, for His, and remembers your sins no more." Just one example, early on, and He says it's gone, but we hold on to it. We cling on to it. It comes back to us. It comes back a lot to us. Oftentimes, it's not our fault that it does come back. I mean, we feel like it's a failure. I mean, you say to God, "I've done all these terrible things." He doesn't care. He doesn't care at all. We see it as failure. He sees it as nothing because He doesn't remember them. And we have a hard time because we remember. We don't know what it's like to totally forget something unless, of course, we've had amnesia. And that doesn't work. Now, I got to catch up on my slideshow here. I'm attempting to control it myself. I remember what happened last time I did that. I got through the whole sermon before I skipped slides. And we'll catch up here in a second. Now, what happens when those memories come up, you know, triggered by a smell, a song, a sound, anything? I mean, it could be anything. You're walking through Walmart and you hear anything, somebody's voice, and it reminds you of the past. And those past memories aren't always bad memories, but they aren't always great either. Your people say a lot, you know, I remember back when it was great. It was great. And these things come to us unbidden, on their own, and oftentimes we can't do anything about it. What we can do about it is how we react to them. Now, in order to react to them in the proper way, we have to understand that they are not, excuse me, they are not what defines us. They remind us, they seem sweet because they remind us of things that are missing now. And through that, they turn sour. I think of a job I had once that was the best job I've ever had. And then I think about that and how it's gone. And how what I do now isn't quite exactly what I'd planned on. You know, I had been engaged to be married. She left me. I look back at that time and I think, well, that was great. Now I'm married to a wonderful woman. I have a son who's also wonderful. Okay, I didn't leave you out today. And I look at it and I say, you know what? At times, I judge my family, my job, everything I have, I judge it based on what I used to have. And I can only remember in my mind what I used to have. And the truth is, it was never the way I remember it to be. In the human mind, your brain eliminates details. It makes things sweeter. It makes things more romantic. Things you want to remember, how you want to remember them. But oftentimes we forget the things that are, you know, not so great, not so wonderful. And we focus on those things and try to force our present to be like the past that never was. We lose our grip on what's real and what was real. And this prevents us from moving forward. Might be a little bit hard to read. I was afraid of that. It says, the reason people find it so hard to be happy is that they always see the past better than it was and the present worse than it is. Essentially what I was just talking about, and that's why. That regret, like I said, prevents us from moving forward. Ecclesiastes 7:10 states, say not, why were the former days better than these? For it is not from wisdom that you ask this. God tells us right there, it's not true. He sees that we think that way. And he says, think harder, because it's not true. He wants us to realize. He says it in his word. This is how you think. This is how your brains work. Don't say that it was better then, because it really wasn't. You're ruining your opportunities for today. So, perhaps it's time to say goodbye to the good old days that weren't so good. Strangely, the way my brain works, some of you can understand, Dave in particular, little snippets of songs, movies, who knows what, pretty much are my inspiration to remember the words of God, even though they may not be wholly Christian in their origin. Thought of the song, you know, the good old days weren't always good. And tomorrow's not as bad as it seems. I'm sure most of us have heard that, if not all of us. except for maybe the kids. And it speaks to that. It says they weren't always that good. It was realized by more than just me, more than just God saying to us, and we glossing over those words because we don't really understand what he's saying. So what do we do with these old memories? First, we have to realize that we are a new creation. Perhaps it's time for a new identity. In Isaiah 43:18-19, God tells us, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." God tells us he started over with us. He says he's taken our sin away. He's forgotten it. We're new creation. We've started again. Why not take a new identity upon ourselves that's defined by God and not by what our past was? Oftentimes in Scripture, God takes someone he has plans for, and he separates them from who they were, and he changes their names. Abram means the High Father. God took Abram, changed his name to Abraham. Now his identity was changed to the father of a multitude in accordance with what God planned to do. In order for Abram to fully embrace what God was doing in his life, his name was changed. God changed his identity. And back then, your name pretty much defined who you were in their society. People were named by their families based on their hopes and their dreams and what was going on and what they feared. God has a different name for us all. In Revelations, it is written on a white stone that when we enter the kingdom of God, God will give us a new name. If he doesn't give it to us here, I can't wait to figure out what mine is. It's probably the same. I don't know. But another example, very close to Abram, is Sarai, my princess. Now that may be appropriate for Abram when they got married, right? But God changed it to Sarah. Alongside Abraham, she now means the mother of nations. Small change, one letter, changed her entire future. Jacob. We all know Jacob. His name means the supplanter, which pretty much means that he's going to kick out the guy in charge and take his place. God changed that to Israel, which means having power with God. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd rather be called having power with God than people hearing my name and thinking that I'm up to no good. Though throughout Scripture, God often uses his old name when he goes back to his old ways, reminding him, look, you're being who you used to be. I've named you Israel. Be who I've made you to be. And the last, Simon. We all know Simon. Nasty guy. His name, men, God has heard. And God has heard what he did. He was not a great guy. He was rough. He was unfinished. Jesus found him. Changed his name to Peter. He says, "You are my rock. I've found you. I have made you a new creation. And your purpose is new. Forget the old. Follow me. Your life will change and it'll never be the same again." And he was. And we remember John, who persecuted Christians. Did terrible, terrible things in his past. God found him. Jesus found him. And what did he do? He wrote a great deal of the book that generation upon generation use to find and know the will and personality of God. Quite a difference. If he had defined himself by his past, would he have done what he was called to do? Probably not. He probably would have hidden a hole out of guilt and shame. God said to him, I forgive you. It's forgotten. And God gave him the wisest and most important job that we can possibly think of right now. Because the prophets, they're not quite as many as there used to be. They're not taken seriously. As we approach the end of time, the end of days, false prophets are in abundance. False prophets come and tell us things from their own selfish desires. But the word of God is forever. It tells us the truth. It speaks to us each individually. It gives us hope for the future and instructions on how to live our everyday lives. So what do? Do I choose to draw a line in the sand, step over it, and leave behind the beach and walk into the green fields and pastures that my Father leads me into, my Jesus who is my shepherd? I follow him forward, but I'm afraid of what the future might hold. It's another thing we have no control over. We have to realize that from this moment on, God has made us a new creation. Every time I come to him and confess my sin and repent of what I've done and what I've thought and what I've been involved in, I am created anew. I am again made whole and clean, and I have a new chance to start over. Well, I can choose whether to go back into that, into what I was in the past, or I can choose to move forward. But moving forward, it's kind of scary because I don't know what's coming. Moving forward is a daunting thing. The future, we see it through a glass darkly. Now, in 1 Corinthians, it says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, now I know in part, but then I know even as I am known. Basically, what he's saying here is, I'm looking at a dirty windshield, a glass darkly. What does that mean? It sounds so poetic and kind of beyond touching. You know, I can't really figure it out. What it means is you're looking through a dirty window into a mirror that's covered in fingerprints, dog nose prints. We can't see what's out there clearly. All we can see are shadows and shapes. Maybe some forms here and there. And we look at those things and they're frightening. Shadows, the dark is frightening. Even as children, we know that. Fear the dark. And what we do is we base our fear on the future. If today you realize at some point that, hey, this scares me. I'm afraid of this. I don't know what to do. Pretty good chance that fear is based on what you're afraid is going to happen later or tomorrow. That's just the way we think. We don't think that positive, great things are going to happen. If we start that, then they change into fearful things. The future is a scary place. And when we decide to give up our past, we immediately find that we are looking to the future. Hopefully, with hope, I mean, we look at the future and go, yeah, I've let go of my past. I'm moving on into the future. God's with me. I can do this. and you start making plans. You start planning out your steps. Where are you going to go from here? What am I going to do? And then that voice whispers in your ear. The darkness comes to you and it says, okay, you're headed here, but what if? What if this happens? What if you do something wrong? And fear creeps into your life. And you let it stop you from progressing because you're afraid of what you think might happen. I mean, we're given the opportunity to choose how we move forward, to choose our destination. I can choose that someday I'm going to go and I'm going to accomplish this task. And God says, okay, if that lines with my will, then so be it. But when I start making choices every day about how I'm going to walk that way, I get overwhelmed. I start wondering how it's ever going to happen. It seems impossible. And I'm discouraged. And then ultimately, living in that discouragement, I will fail. At that point, I feel like I've disappointed my Father. That my great intentions that He agreed with, I let Him down. But He tells us He will walk with us into that future. He's always with us. In Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. We have to remember that as we walk into the future. We can't see what's coming. We can't predict it. Can you imagine if we could predict the future? If all these internet things about, you know, if you have all these properties or you answer these questions in a certain way, there's how your future is. It's ridiculous. Because God's the only one that knows the future. And He's not willing to tell us. And I have found myself getting quite irritated with Him about that. I'm like, will you please tell me what I'm supposed to do and where I'm going and what's happening and what's going on? And you know, I can get pretty intense with that, kind of angry. And God says to me, He's told me so many times, if I told you what you were going to do, trust me, you're going to ruin it. And I go, well, I don't want to ruin it. God's got a good plan for me. I mean, He tells me this, and we post it everywhere. You know, we see it everywhere we go. In Jeremiah, where'd it go? He says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And we hold on to that because it sounds amazing. Because I can't control my future, and we all know it. All we can do is make a choice. Make a plan. I had a pastor tell me once, he says, you want to hear a joke? If you want to make people laugh, make a joke. If you want to make God laugh, make a plan without Him. Because His path to that end goal that you've chosen never goes the direction you start. He brings you about through trials, through tempering. The things in our lives that we go through every day make us what we need to be where we need to be. And if I had the choice to change something in my past that caused me pain, can you imagine? I can't. How much I would have messed up. Would I be here? Would I have my family? Would I be anywhere near where God wanted me to be? God wants me now up here talking to you. Something I never pictured for myself. I never made plans to do so. I simply decided that God was right. And the past and the future only hold pain and misdirection for me. For a long time now, I've been trying to live now, today. And my thoughts are that in Hebrews, we're told Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I have that to hold on to, something solid, something promised, something firm that's never going to change. So everything that I read in His Word about His character, about His promises, are never lies. They never go away. Nothing I do or that anybody else does to me can ever pull me from His hand. And I can rest in Him. And He walks with me. There are times, even in recent past, where I thought, oh man, tomorrow I could lose my car or my house or my job, and then all of that would follow. I could lose my wife or my son when I'm not there. I can't do anything to protect them. But then God comes. And He brings me my friends, strangers who are there with what I need at the right time. My friends who come and who hold me up and bring to me what I need to escape this thing that lies before me. Some very good friends, some very strange strangers. But God has always had my back. He's always lifted me beyond where I thought I was going to end up. He's put me in a place where He wants me. Can't say that's where I wanted myself to be, but I'm living right now. I know that tomorrow I could go outside and it's raining and ugly. It is Pittsburgh and all. But today I can go outside and I can look at the sky. Is it cloudy? Is it raining? Is it sun shining? I can enjoy it right now. I can be happy in what's happening at this moment. That's what God wants for us. He wants us to be happy and enjoy the life He's given us. He's told us so many times in His words, don't worry about the past. Don't worry about the future. Don't worry about what's around the corner. Because it could be a dinosaur, Rick. It could be. It's probably not. God's with us anyway. He made them extinct. But the thing is, tomorrow is not a guarantee. Now, I'm a computer guy, so this is funny to me. It says, the future. Now installing tomorrow. Please wait. Then comes a fatal error. An unknown event has stopped this process from loading. We don't know when we're done. We can guess, we can surmise, doctors can tell you have this long to live. It's an uncomfortable thought. It's a thought that brings sadness and some of us despair. We have no control. When it comes, God knows our day, our hour. We can't let that make us afraid, because we have right now. At this moment, I'm breathing and I'm alive. I have the opportunity to enjoy the people around me, to make my life and their lives better, to spread the word of God, to give His love to those who need it. And that's all I have to worry about. Because God has me in His hands. He takes me every day and walks me through my life. He's with me when I am alone or when I'm not alone. When I'm not alone and I talk to him out loud, people think I'm kind of funny. But I get past that. I get past that because I think, you know what? That's what I want to be like. You see these people who, celebrities, although I can't believe them all the time, those who proclaim they are Christians and that they follow the word of Jesus, when they proclaim it on national television, that is quite a stance that they're taking. They're risking most of the people who have put them in their position financially and through their fame. They're telling those people, this is what I believe. And those who don't believe the same as them, they run the risk of losing it. But they know right now where they are on that TV show, in that interview, that God says to them, tell them who you really are, and I will take care of it. And to be honest, even when I wasn't a Christian, that kind of thing, I envied them. I said, I want to believe something that strongly. And even now, when I hear those declarations, it makes me say, you know what? I want to be like that. I want to walk through the world and say, I am a Christian. I'm not perfect. You can tell me that I'm a liar because I have failed in my past. But at this moment, at this very time and place, I belong to God. And I trust that he will take me and take care of me in his plan, in his future. And that I have nothing to worry about. Half the Bible is telling me not to worry because he'll take care of me. And if I believe that the word of God is true and good and that no man can change it, then I should believe every word I read out of it. No henpecking. No but. I believe the Bible is the truth. So what do we do now that we're in the present? Now that our past is behind us and we don't let it define who we are and we don't let our future keep us from being who we want to be. See, because in the present, you can't change the past, but you can ruin the present by worrying about the future. It's something I'm probably going to remember for a very long time. And it's the truth. The past is done. It's out of reach. It's out of hand. It can't be changed. The future can be changed. But worrying about it gets me nothing because I can't see where it's headed. So the present is the best place to be. Here I am. So what do I do while I'm here? God has us covered. He wraps us in bubble wrap of his protection. So when we fall down like an overprotective parent, we bounce like their children do. I like God bubble wrap. Popping bubble wrap is very entertaining. It consumes hours of my time. And so should God's bubble wrap. His word, his promises, they are our bubble wrap. These amazing things that keep us safe. And then when you pop one open, oh, it's a feeling like no other. Calming, reassuring, annoying to others, maybe. But I love it. And that's what God's done for us. That's what his word is. It's a roll of bubble wrap for us. You can't resist it once you get into it. But he tells us, keep the light on. Keep the light on in your life. That's all we have to worry about at the moment. Turn your light on. Stay ready. Prepare yourself for an adventure. Luke 12:35 tells us, be dressed and ready for service. Keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding of banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. He says, be ready. Confess your sins. Forgive your enemies. We've heard it 100 times. Do we do it? And when we do it, does it stay done? Lots of times it doesn't stay done. Do it again. Keep doing it. So at this moment, if God comes to me and says, I got something for you to do, I won't have to say, but I need to do this first. God wants us to be right now. Right now. You should be ready. You should be ready to just do whatever he comes at you with. Whether it's coming to him at the end of our days or going to others when they need us most. Talking to people that we normally wouldn't talk to. Spreading the word of God in his kingdom here on earth. His spirit is within us. We're connected directly to God. At any moment, he could say to me, do this. And if I'm concerned about what I've done before and how I failed, I may fail again. I won't do it. I question myself. I question what he's told me to do. If I worry about if what I do causes someone else to think of me in an adverse way, I'm worrying about the future. What could happen? What might happen? And I don't act. Surrender completely to him. And live right now. Live today. In this moment you're in. And you will do great things for the kingdom of God. Without fear. And without regret. Keep the light on for Jesus. Keep the light on for God. So that you can be his child and his instrument in this world that is so dark right now. Be the lamp. Walk his path. Let him direct your feet. Now, I hope that someone maybe got a little bit out of that today, a little bit of encouragement, a new direction, something to try. I try it. I try it a lot. I'm not very good at it, but I'm trying. And I've been blessed abundantly when I stop worrying about tomorrow, whether I can pay this bill or fix this car. And I say, God, it scares me to death, but I need your help, because if I live in this fear, I won't ever succeed. He comes alongside me. He picks me up, takes my hand. He gives me the wisdom and the knowledge to do whatever he's called me to do, whatever needs done. And I pray that we walk out of here today and we live in the moment, even for a little bit, so that we can taste what it's like to not be afraid, to not be hurt, to not be abandoned, but to realize that we are the power that God uses on this earth to accomplish his will, and that I need to be free of all the things of this world, the fear, the pain, the regret, so that he can use me as a sharpened tool. And I pray we feel that today, tomorrow, and every day, and remind us through your spirit that is always with me, that God is with me, that the spirit is in me, and that I can accomplish anything, and I have no need for fear, for it's God's perfect will, and he takes care of everything. Let us go out of this place and remember who God is and who we are in him. In Jesus' name, amen.